Philippians chapter 4. I apologize to my youth class because they've already heard this from this morning. But as I was praying about what to preach tonight, this felt very fitting as a type of final, I'm not saying farewell, I'm not passing away, but honestly, though, a final farewell to Emmanuel Baptist. And, of course, Paul is charging a church that he helped plant, and I didn't help plant this church, and nor am I the pastor. But if I could say anything to the congregation before I was to leave, I would say something like this. It will be in verses 1 through 9, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. If you will, stand one more time for the honor of reading the Word of God. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings again. We just thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who we didn't deserve. What a great song, Lord. And to think that the story's been told for over 2,000 years and it never gets old because you're a real person, God, and you're close to us and you manifest yourself to us. We pray you would manifest your spirit tonight. Take me out of the way. Forgive any of my sins. Open my mind and my heart, my tongue. Pray nothing would be said or done to quench the spirit or magnify the flesh. Just let it all glorify you. Bless your word and help those that need help from this, God. I know I do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have titled this message, Moving Forward, or simply just Move Forward. Move Forward. In verse number 1, he says, therefore, and we know that when there's a therefore in the Bible, you need to look back and see what it was put there for, because we know that letters were not written with chapter divisions and number and verse divisions. Those weren't added until, I think it was like the 14 or 1500s. They were all just, it was one letter. Whenever the church got news that Paul was sending a letter, they didn't go, well, let's read like half of it and then see what goes on and stop right in the middle of it and call it good. No, they would just read the whole thing. And don't be scared, I'm not reading the whole book of Philippians. So, but they would. I mean, that's a letter. So whenever they got to that therefore, they had already been reading chapters 1, 2, and 3. And they had already had all the context. But just to give you the context, I mean, he just got done talking about that we're looking for Christ to come back, to change our vile body and to make it like unto his glorious body, that we're to be waiting for him to come, and that while we're waiting for him to come, we should be ordering our lifestyle as if we're already in heaven, our conversations in heaven. And he's able to subdue all things unto himself. He has power, and he will subdue all things unto himself. And so when you get to chapter 4, verse number 1, he's saying, therefore, because of those things, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He calls them my joy and crown because he labored in that church to help get it started, and he watched God do great things. And so he's saying that if y'all will stand fast and keep on going, you're What is my crown or joy of rejoicing? Is it not you? He had already said that previously to a church. And so he calls them his crown. It's his reward, is the people, the souls are his reward. And he tells them to stand fast in the Lord. That word fast, stand fast, we don't really use that terminology. I remember in the garden, whenever they were coming to arrest him, they say, take him and hold him fast. And we say, they would say things like that in the King's English, and we don't necessarily say that. And so I won't name who, but somebody in my class this morning was like, I don't know, stand quickly. And I said, no, not stand quickly. It means firm and immovable. It means close, pressed, fixed, stopped, set, tight, to make fast the door, to take fast hold, to hold something strongly. That's what that means, to stand fast in the Lord. Well, how do you stand fast in the Lord? And in the Lord there is going to be a common reoccurring phrase in the next couple of verses, in the Lord, in Christ, in Jesus, through Christ Jesus. It's all these things in and through him. And that means to stand fast in the Lord is to stand fast in his character. Excuse me. It's to stand fast in his promises, to stand fast and not be moved from his word or his doctrine or the faith of Jesus Christ. And so his first charge in this chapter 4 to the church of Philippi, and what my first charge would be to Emmanuel Baptist moving forward. And I don't want this, let me just make a disclaimer. I don't want this to sound like a sermon as if since we're leaving that you're losing something great, because you're not. I mean, it's not like, oh, I know it can be a little sad, but I mean, by the next month, you won't remember we were here. So things move on. I mean, it's just true. If any of you sulk for a long time, I'm a little worried about you. So but I don't want this to sound like we're leaving some massive hole. I mean, when God moves somebody on, God quickly replaces them and fills their spot of whatever ministry was going on that we were running. Or say, you know, there was a youth before we were here, and before I ran, there'll be a youth after we're gone. So, but that being said, I do want this sermon to be things for y'all to remember, and I would preach this to you any other day, even if we weren't leaving, but these are just things to remember and to take hold of. Coming into, especially, it's more so because of the new year, and new things are going to be coming. New ministries are going to be started, and there's things that we should take hold of and to remember and put in our heart as we are supposed to move forward as a church. And so, continuing on, what Paul says to them is, what I say to you now, that no matter what happens, that you are to stand fast in the doctrine of the Lord, and you are to take fast hold on the character of Christ and to be like him. And he's saying they're dearly beloved and long for. He calls them dearly beloved twice, and long for. This is somebody he loves, and I, especially me and Kaylin, we love Emmanuel Baptist, and we love y'all. And the last thing I ever want to see is 20 years down the road that we drive by an empty building saying, we remember when Emmanuel Baptist was here. And that happens a lot, unfortunately. We are always in jeopardy of letting the devil and the flesh get in and ruin what God has going on here. And that's what's been being preached from those seven churches that Pastor Chad's been talking about. There are always things that we can improve on. But one thing that we need to, you can't improve on the Lord, but you can stand fast in him. Amen. In order to move forward, you must... Well, first, you must stand still. If you're going to move forward, you must stand firm in the Lord. Everything he is, his love, his power, his doctrine, his character, his faith and strength. Don't be swayed from his word or his person or his power and his name. Move forward for him and in him. Others must see that you are not moved by the current political climate or the economy or the latest trends and the latest fads. You don't change your church services to fit with the current world system. You've heard it said before, whatever you use to get them here is what you have to use to keep them here. And if you're not coming for the Lord, you're not going to stay for the Lord. You'll move on to the next hip church, which Pastor the pastor wears jeans and the latest sneakers and like $1,000 watch, you know. and you'll move on from church to church until you find something that pleases whatever you're looking for in a church. I don't know what you're looking for in a church if you're not looking for Bible preaching and Christ being lifted up. But those are people who are not standing fast in the Lord. Those are people who are standing fast in what concept they have of the Lord. Some false misconception of what they think church should be. Some idea of what they think is some way to worship the Lord. And may we never forget that God killed Aaron's two sons for trying to worship him the way they thought they could worship him. Sent fire and devoured them because they offered strange and foreign fire that he did not command them to offer. There is a way to worship God. There is a way to walk with him, and it can't be made up by you. Look, if this was all made up and Christianity was kind of just whatever you wanted to do, I don't think any of us would be here. I really don't. If Christianity and God just said, you can find whatever way you want to worship me, we wouldn't be in an independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing Baptist church. We'd make our own church that was whatever pleased our flesh. But Paul is straightly commanding them that, look, what you have, and let's be honest, what we have here at Emmanuel Baptist Church is rare. I'm quite thankful, very thankful to God that he allowed me to be born in this church. I could have been born in some heretical, I don't know, I could have been in a family that didn't even go to church. But what we have at this church, we have a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor that walks with God and a congregation that is closely knit together. And that hasn't changed in years. And that is rare, very rare. And we ought to be very thankful to God that we have this church. And then we also need to take heed and honestly be afraid of what would happen if each of us were just to kind of give up. Someone else will do it. Someone else will do that. If each and every one of us had the mindset of someone else will do it, nothing gets done. And the ministry doesn't move forward. And you're left with a pastor who is trying to do everything himself. And that's also very common. You find the pastor does everything, and the church just kind of sits around. Look, this isn't a concert. Y'all aren't an audience. You're a congregation and a fellowship of believers. We don't sit in the pew and watch the show. We participate. And that takes standing fast in God, because ministry is not done in the power of the flesh. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. You yoke up with Christ and you work. You don't work in the power of the flesh. Standing fast in him. We have in verse 2, two ladies of the church at odds with each other, Yodias and Syntyche. Yodias means, I thought this was kind of fun. It made me laugh in a way. Yodias means fine traveling. Everything starts out great. And Syntyche means an accident. And sometimes accidents happen along the way. Sometimes you're going in the ministry and things are going well in the church and something's said or something's taken the wrong way. Now you got two church members at odds with each other. And I told the youth this. I said it's really kind of not common amongst your age, especially for guys, although guys can be petty. And but y'all's age, no one's holding strong grudges at one another. But the older they get, the more petty you get, and the more sensitive, I guess, people get. And we tend to, and it really just depends on your emotional makeup and who you are on the inside and your mental makeup, and because I can hold grudges. I don't, and I try not to. But I am of the emotional makeup where I am actually very petty. And ask my wife, I'm petty. It's impossible for me and my wife to ever argue. We never have, and I don't think we ever will, because if I get my feelings hurt, I just sit by myself and be quiet because I'm too petty. And I want you to know that I'm mad at you, but I'm not going to tell you I'm mad at you. So I can't actually argue. It's impossible. but people can. And in a church, each and every one of you are completely different people. And each and every one of you has a different walk with God, in a different time of life, in a different stage of spiritual growth. And it's bound to happen at some point. that something can be said or taken the wrong way, even from the pulpit. The pastor could be preaching, and somebody sitting in the congregation going, he must be talking about me. And now you're not listening anymore, and the pastor doesn't even know that you're mad. But you're mad. Look, it's holding grudges is just not worth what it costs the church. Holding grudges and being mad at people. And I'm not actually, I can't speak from experience. I don't know. I've never seen church splits. I've never actually seen a church fight. I've never witnessed it. But I hear it preached a lot, so it must happen. So, and the Bible talks about that. So part of the passage here is I simply must tell you, you need to be of the same mind in the Lord. Amen. He said, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Look, whatever's going on between any of you, Christ doesn't ever hold a grudge at you for what you do to him. Always forgives you. Always forgives the repentant heart. And if you can't be willing to go to your brother or your sister who you're at odds with and make things right, well, according to the Bible, God will not hear your prayer. There should never be any conflict. Look, any kind of conflict or disagreement that does not get resolved just puts a complete stop to the Spirit's working in this church. And may I remind you of probably my favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. Well, I just think that they need to, no, pride. And may I remind you that you are not the one that's always right. Let me tell you personally, imagine I'm talking to you right now. You just go ahead and assume you're always in the wrong. And maybe you know 100% you are right about this thing. For the sake of restoring fellowship, just humble yourself. God was always in the right. Always in the right. Never did wrong. And he humbled himself and took sin upon himself, your sin, and chose to take the punishment for what we did wrong. And he paid for it. And he's fine. And he's not mad at you. Quite the opposite. He loves you. Shouldn't we be more willing to love than to hold a grudge? As a Christian, should not we be more willing to humble ourselves and just make things right? And this goes for marriage, this goes for friendships, this goes for church. If there's ever contention, it's because either one or both of you are just full of pride. Never let pride get in the way of what God's trying to do with this church. Be of the same mind in the Lord. There's in the Lord again. Remember, in the Lord. Well, how are you of the same mind in the Lord? You both agree on scripture to humble yourselves and make things right and put away your differences. You look to the word of God. You look to the example Christ set for us, and we do it. And we swallow our pride because it's quenching the Holy Spirit. And we realize that souls being saved from hell is more important than what color we paint the walls or we make the carpet. Or it's more important than whatever you thought was said about you. And if there was ever something said about you, just assume it's probably right. If someone says something bad about you, just agree, because we're horrible people. And none of us are good. None of us are so high up that we are just above a slander. It's just not true. Were they in the wrong for saying that? Yeah, but humble yourself, say, hey, I know what you said, and you know, I agree. I am that way. I am mean, or I am, I do have a bad attitude most of the time, and I'm sorry, let's reconcile, let's go to lunch or something. You know, being bitter is, you've heard it before, we've all heard this, but being bitter is just drinking poison and hoping they get hurt. And he continues, I entreat thee also. He starts talking to the other yoke fellow. Remember what a yoke is. It's what the oxen got under and plowed a field. These are people that are working in the same ministry here. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Help them get right with each other. And also help Clement and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. What do we take from verse number 3? Don't be too lazy or too afraid or too anything. Don't be too scared or fearful or anything at all to put your hand to the work. There's a lot that needs to be done, and Kaylin and I are going to be moving on, and there are things that will need to be done. I didn't do a whole bunch of, you know, nothing was really ratting on me, but there will be work to do. And you know, I thought that we were going to be here for many more years to come. And Kaylin and I had said this. We said that. I said we would often have this conversation. How long do you think we're going to be at Emmanuel? I said, I don't know, 5 or so more years, get some training under pastor, and you know, learn, and you know, I'm going to work this job I just got for probably the rest of the time. I'm committed to it, you know. And that was a week and a half later. He takes that job away from me, and next thing we know, we're moving. You know, we don't know how long you're going to be here either. So while you're here, find something to do. And I appreciate that most of you here, and about all of you, we do things around here. I know that y'all work. But if you see a need and you know you have some spare time, well, what's hindering you? Well, I think that's somebody else's job. I don't know about that. We all have something to do. Help the laborers. Get under your pastor and support him. Do what needs to be done. Nothing's beneath you. Part of my interview at Heritage, Brother Jim asked me, is there anything that's under you or beneath you that you won't be willing to do? I said, no. You know, that's just not biblical. And that goes for you. Ask yourself that. Is there anything beneath me that I'm not willing to do? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Here we have a clear command that you are to rejoice in the Lord. This is actually not an option. Well, what does that even mean? How do I rejoice in the Lord? There's in the Lord again. And again, I say rejoice. And this is in the context of ministry. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be bitter or angry with anybody. Help the yoke fellow. Help the laborers. Put your hand and put your neck to the work. And when you're doing those things, you'll find it's a joy. There's no greater joy than knowing you've completed a task for the glory of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your daily Bible reading. Rejoice in your daily prayer time. Rejoice to be in service. Rejoice to be in church. Rejoice to have brothers and sisters in Christ who care about you. Rejoice that God has supplied your needs. In everything, rejoice. Paul also said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for everything and in everything. Rejoice in him. And find that our satisfaction is in loving our God. You won't be satisfied in doing anything else. You won't be satisfied in trying to rejoice in the world or rejoice in what the devil has put out there for you, rejoicing in alcohol and smoking and drugs and fornication, and can't rejoice in that stuff. You try and do it for a little bit and you find that you actually have just widened that hole and now you're more miserable and now you need something even more to fill it. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and that will always be a fact. You will only find joy in the Spirit. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Well, what does that mean? Moderation means a gentle and patient and quiet spirit and attitude. Well, what is that talking about? What do you mean? Do I go up to somebody and go, hey, I've got a really patient spirit right now. I just thought I'd let you know. He's saying that people look at you, they should see there's something different. They're not fretting or stressing or miserable, or they seem at peace. Excuse me. We are to have that attitude. Christians should never have any other attitude. Christians shouldn't have bad attitudes. Do we have bad days? Yes, but does a bad day negate rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Jesus had a lot of bad days. Sure did. Paul had a lot of bad days. Heroes of the faith had a lot of bad days. Just think of the most godly person you know. They have bad days. Some of the most godly men I know have some of the hardest ministries and have been through some of the hardest storms. and they are still the most moderate-tempered people I know. We are to be witnessing. The Lord is at hand. He's coming. He's coming soon. And that also means he's here right now. That means both. He's here right now at hand, but he's also, his coming is at hand. Let your moderation be done unto all men. For what purpose? Well, to win them to the Lord. Do people in Walmart or the grocery store see a moderate spirit in you? Or do you just go in, never look anybody in the eye, and somebody tries to smile at you, and you're just like, ah, get away from me, you know? I'm all peopled out. I don't want to talk to it, you know? We say some of the weirdest things as people. We have some of the weirdest excuses, and honestly, some of the worst excuses. Well, I just don't really want to hang around anybody. I just don't want to stay after church. I'm ready to get home. And well, you don't seem to be really rejoicing in the Lord a whole lot. Don't forget that you need the fellowship here at church. Don't forget that God made the church so you could have people and bear your heart. And just a side note, let's go off track a little bit. Something I want to, that you already know, but leave with you in this last sermon here is that don't, and it was preached on by Brother Chad in one of the first sermons, don't be afraid to comfort one another and get comfort from one another. Are you having a bad day? Just tell one of us. And those of you who are receiving that from somebody else, put aside your bad day and put aside your feelings and what you want to do and take a moment to be a listening ear. Man, we are in hard times. The world is only getting worse. We need to, Hebrews said we're supposed to be meeting more. We're supposed to be together more. When I was going through my worst time of life, I didn't care to share, but I know that my family noticed and took notice and tried to help. And that means the world to me nowadays. I think back on that. And just to have people in the church, whether it's family or not, it's just, you know, we need each other, especially. Excuse me. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here we have three different types of prayer. Be careful for nothing, which means don't be anxious or stressed for anything, really. Excuse me. Don't be stressed, don't be anxious. Don't let trials, and I told this to the youth, do you realize, I don't think we've ever really realized this or not, but trials and hard times can actually become our God. I mean, a God, your God is whatever you give your time and thoughts to. Excuse me. But if the trials and hard situations and stressful things in your life are taking up every thought that you have, it's your God. It's what you're giving attention to. Well, I got to fix this, and I got to find a way to do this, and we got to make enough money, and we've got to pay these bills, and we got to do everything. And it's just, you're completely cumbered about. And it's become what you worship. You get up in the morning, and you start thinking about it. How am I going to fix this? How am I going to do it? Look, just pray. By prayer, that's worship. Supplication, asking God for supplies. With thanksgiving, praising him and thanking him in advance for what he's going to do, let your request be made known to God. It's that simple. How do you battle the stresses and anxieties of life? You pray and worship God and ask him to meet your need and thank him that he's going to do it. And enough times of that and enough faith, you've got to have faith. If you don't believe he's going to meet your need, then he doesn't hear that prayer. He's not pleased with that. But you just ask him for some faith. God, I'm stressed. Help me believe that you are God. You are who you say you are. You will meet my need, and I'm going to thank you for it. And that's how you deal with it. But I struggle with that sometimes. I mean, I went 3 weeks without a job, and that was tough. And that wasn't necessarily the will of the Lord either. That was kind of my doing. And that's a long story, but I left a job against God's will thinking I had something lined up in the next week and it fell through, and guess what? no job. I had to repent, ask my wife to forgive me, pray through it. I'm going to do better. I'm going to seek the Lord, and had full assurance. We made commitments to him about our finances. We're going to stop spending here and there. We're going to save. We're going to do right. This is a lesson we're going to take with us through our whole life. God, give us a job. And 3 weeks go by. And I was, all right, Lord, are you going to give me this job? I mean, I need to work. I'm willing to work. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I just had to trust the Lord and learn to deal with stress. And that's a lesson we're going to be learning the rest of our life, really. Everybody's learning that the rest of your life is to deal with stress. But God really just came through. And you see how real God is in those times and how he actually listens to your prayer. We had no idea how good it was going to be that he was putting us in full-time ministry. And he comes through. And if y'all are going to move forward as a church, and we're going to move forward here, then the whole congregation just needs to learn that God is real. You believe he is real. He meets needs. Something comes up about the church and financial needs, you just trust God and you pitch in, you do your part, and you ask him to take care of it, and you thank him for it. And somebody's struggling, you pray over him and thank God that he's going to come through in their situation. You band together. It's so sad how that in hard times, a church member that you know is here and you see them, but you have no idea they're going through a horrible time, and they decide to push away instead of draw closer. They decide to leave the flock and deal with it on their own. That's dangerous. You leave here trying to deal with things on your own. You've left the umbrella of God's grace in the church. Don't push away in hard times. Draw closer together in hard times. And Paul's teaching them that here. And when you do that, and you learn to manage that stress and that anxiety, and you put it away, and you put it in God's hands, casting all your care upon him. Same word, care, for he careth for you. And you do that, you know what you get? In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What does that mean, passeth all understanding? It's not just up here. It goes so much deeper than your mental capacity. It goes to the heart. And then you know what it does? It shall keep your hearts and minds. When you trust God with your life and your problems and the stresses of the church and your own personal life, he sends his peace through Christ Jesus to keep your heart and your mind, to keep it safe in his hands. And he holds you together, because sometimes the only thing that holds us together is God. Sometimes the only thing that holds your life together is God. Seems like everything's exploding and falling apart. It's really not. God's just chipping away and teaching you lessons because he cares about you. Well, I don't like the hard times. Well, what kind of father would God be if he didn't want us to grow? What kind of father would you be? What kind of mother would you be if you didn't want your kids, your grandkids to grow as people? You can't stay a baby forever in Christ. God's going to push you forward. God's going to push this church forward. You realize God wants to see this church grow more than you could ever imagine you want it to grow. God has greater plans and desires for this church and for your life than you could ever imagine. And look, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. He's given you some things. Instead of anxiety and stress, here's what you should think on. Let me read to you, because those words are deep. True. True. Agreeable to the scriptures. Agreeable to the gospel and the word of truth. The law of light and of nature. Or the law of the law and light of nature. Whatever was really so, even among the very heathens, in opposition to falsehood, lying, and hypocrisy. There are just things that are true that even the heathen know. It's God's truth. Think on that. Honest. That word means venerable. Love, it means things that are lofty and that are high up in God's standard. Just. Just is whatever God says is true and right and due. Excellent. In opposition to anything of injustice, or oppression, pure, chaste in deed or word or thought, in opposition to all filthiness and foolish talking. Lovely, which are things that are amiable in themselves, found even among mere mortal men. Things that are simply lovely in friendship and the agape love. Anything in opposition to contention, strife, wrath, or hatred. Of good report, well spoken of, and good name and credit and reputation in God's eyes and moral religion eyes. Virtue. Virtue is anything powerful and lovely in the power of God and purity. Any praise, praiseworthy to God, to his word and what he does. And think on these things. I said it in the morning service, and I'll say it again. But it's ridiculous how us Christians these days will follow what the world says is good and moral. I talked about the... It's kind of my soapbox. I guess it is my soapbox, I'll be honest. But just the entertainment of this day. Just that Hollywood has put out that, you know, G or PG, it's good for kids. PG-13, you need to be a little older. Rated R, you got to be an adult. If an adult's watching something a kid shouldn't watch, I don't think that fits in that list. Don't think it does. I think you need to rethink what moral standard you're following. It's all right there. I mean, you can't argue against it. And if you go away from this service and from hearing the word of God and that one verse and you just go right back to it and you just don't care, that's the honest truth. You don't care about God's moral standard. You don't care about what's pure, lovely, just, good report, virtue, any praise. You just don't. And it's because you love it too much. And you need to be honest with yourself. And I need to be honest with myself. There are things that we need to let go of. Because it's just, you just can't come to me with any good argument. You can't come to the pastor. You can't come to anybody. You can't come to the Word of God with a good argument against what this says. If it's got foul language, if it's got immorality and sexual perversion, and it takes God's name in vain, and it talks about anything contrary to God's goodness and holy nature, then you just don't need to be thinking on it. It's just not good for you. He didn't give this standard to say, no more fun. You're a Christian. You gotta sulk and just be sad all the time. No, he gives this for our good. Look, if whatever we're listening to or watching or playing video games or anything, if a conversation or foul jokes, if it's anything that enters the gates of our eyes or ears, we hear it, we see it, and it's not going to benefit our thought life, then why? Why partake in that? You're only poisoning yourself. You're going to lose that peace of God. You'll lose it. You'll lose that peace that comes with following his footsteps in morality and right thinking and doing. Look, I can speak for myself, and I hope I speak for all of you, but it's not, the peace of God's not worth giving. There's nothing I could ever find worth exchanging the peace of God over. Amen. It's just not worth it. I just enjoy being happy too much. I enjoy being filled with the Spirit and walking with him. I don't always do it and I mess up. And when I do, often my prayer is, why am I like this, God? Why am I so dumb? There's a reason he compared us to the dumbest animal, sheep. There's a good reason he calls us sheep. We just are too easily pushed away and pulled away from every which way. The devil pulls, the flesh pulls, the world pulls, and we just kind of go with it. That's what Paul told him in the very first verse, to stand fast, stand firm. Don't let things draw you away from this list in verse 8. Look, you're questioning something, you don't know what to do, go to Philippians 4:8 and just hold it up against that. And say, does this meet the qualifications? If not, it's not worth it for me, God. I'm not losing my peace with you. I'm not losing my fellowship with you. I think I'll just let it go and enjoy some good quiet time with you. There are wholesome movies. There are good things. And you know, I'll never be one of those preachers that's just anti-everything. My wife and I watch movies sometimes. We just make sure that this isn't going to put something bad in my home. I'm a man. I'm responsible for what comes into my home. And if you're a man, you should feel that responsibility. or if you're a parent too, husband or wife, you should feel responsible. And having a kid has really upped that for me. Every things where it come across with the TV or on YouTube or something like, would I want Nathan seeing that when he gets older? Nope, we're not going to do it. You should feel responsible for your home. Your home should be a little piece of heaven on earth. Your kids shouldn't grow up and have to be concerned about what you're watching or listening to. It just shouldn't be like that. The home should be a place where God rules and reigns and has His way. And that's what I want for my home. And that's what you should want for your home, and especially the church. If our homes, with each family represented here right now, if all of our homes are just a mess, what do you think the church is going to be like? It's not going to be good. I pray we think on these things. And I would talk about verse 9, but I don't think I'm going to get up here and say everything you see me and hear from me and just do. I'm not going to say follow me exactly, but Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was able to say, look, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And I know he's specifically talking about doctrine. Yes, whatever doctrine I preach, it's the same doctrine as Pastor Chad. I pray my life is something you can follow and examine me. I pray that. And we should all pray that our lives are good examples to follow from the younger generation. I pray mine is. And that's really all I have for you tonight. We're out of time. But this would be, I have to just say at the very end of this, I echo Paul and just say all this. And I know he has more to say, but I took this little excerpt out here. And this is exactly what I would want to leave with you as we're moving on to our ministry. And this is just, it's as simple as just keep doing what you're doing and following God. And really, that's just a simple Christian life, is just follow Him. Just do what He does. Follow His life. Follow Christ's earthly ministry life. Just follow the Word of God. And really, I really want to stress to this church, because I'm scared of what I see. Me and my sister are the only ones that ever stayed around for my youth group. And praise God, a few of them have come back. But some of them, my best friend from growing up in this church, I don't know where he is. Don't know what he's doing. Last I heard, it wasn't good. It scares me to see how relaxed we've gotten on our morals as Christians. I didn't have a perfect raising, and my mom and dad will tell you too, we didn't do everything perfect. But we've grown, and I've watched my own parents grow. And I'm just concerned that there are people here, sitting here right now, that I'm scared that we don't care enough. I'm scared that we don't love God enough to filter everything we do and say and think and watch and hear through His Word. And we're not supposed to be a bunch of, Puritans and just separate from everything. And that's not what Paul's even saying. Don't take that the wrong way. But shouldn't we be concerned about our generation and our kids? Shouldn't we be concerned? I'm concerned, and I want to come back to Emmanuel Baptist Church when my son's growing up and show him the same thing. I want him to see exactly what I see right now, a church who loves God. I know y'all love God, and I see it in y'all, and I pray I continue to love Him too. But let's just, especially in this new year, 2025, I want to see this church grow. Pastor has a lot of good plans. I pray that the church here will back him up on everything and just get excited, really get excited. Look, Jacksonville's dying and going to hell. Jacksonville's in bad shape. We ought to be concerned. We ought to be zealous for the Lord. It was a command. Jesus actually commanded one of His churches, be zealous. I like that. It's a command. Be zealous. Be excited for what God is doing and what God wants to do. And not only in this church, but just your personal walk with Him. He really wants to get close to you. He loves you. Man, He loves you. And He wants you to get close to Him. Because let me tell you, that peace of God that passes understanding, the more you walk with Him, the bigger it gets. Man, the more you walk with Him, the greater and greater that love and peace within you gets. And the Holy Spirit takes control and just pushes you in the right way. And I want everyone here to come to the end of their life, on their deathbed, and say, man, I'm glad I walked with the Lord. And I want that for me too. And I'm glad Emmanuel Baptist Church has gone on for hundreds of years until the Lord comes back. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day and all your blessings on us.